Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it.
Hello and welcome back. This is Consider This Northumberland, and I'm your host, Robert Washburn, and you're listening to Northumberland 89.7 FM. On April 9th, the provincial government granted 169 municipalities strong mayor powers. Coburg was one of them. This means the mayor can create or dissolve committees, appoint or dismiss town directors and managers, reorganize municipal departments, and draft budgets for council's consideration. One of the biggest powers the mayor will have is the ability to veto council decisions that do not line up with the priorities of the provincial government. And while the mayor can be overridden by a two-thirds majority vote of council, it represents a significant shift of power. Coburg councillor Miriam Mouton will give her initial thoughts on these new powers and what it means to Coburg and Coburg residents. See what you think of her interpretation. I'm so pleased to welcome to this program Coburg Councillor Miriam Mouton. Welcome to Consider This Northumberland.
Thank you very much, Rob. It's a pleasure to be here.
If you are going to explain strong mayor powers to someone who does not follow this kind of thing, what would you say?
Good question. I would say my understanding of strong mayor powers is that there is a perceptible shift to authority to the head of council, whereas it was one vote per member of council and a simple majority to carry an item. There will be different rules in place.
Can you summarize what some of those changes might be?
I think so. I'm just in reference to the government website, the provincial government, that there will be more authority if the mayor chooses to exercise strong mayor powers, because my understanding is some of the municipalities currently in that have strong mayor powers have chosen to be a bit careful with how they use that. So some of the items would be that the mayor would be able to choose and appoint the municipality's chief administrative officer. They could also impact the hiring and firing of department heads. They could create committees of council and assign their functions and appointing chairs and vice chairs, etc. Proposing the municipal budget, proposing certain municipal bylaws, if the mayor feels that they are important to the municipality, and vetoing certain bylaws if the head of council is of the opinion that it might interfere with a provincial priority. So that could be a test. And also bringing forward matters for council consideration that the head of council is of the opinion that, again, could advance a provincial priority.
What was your initial reaction to the strong mayor powers when you first learned of it?
I had some concerns, but to be quite frank, I believe our leader of council has been somewhat acting like a strong mayor since he was elected. I know a few times I've pointed out, for example, like, and please don't ask me the specific occurrences because I can't remember them at this point, but my reaction was, well, we don't have strong mayor powers here. Yet. or I didn't know whether we would get them and whether the province would think of modifying them somewhat given the pushback or the response from the municipalities that do have them.
I want to talk about some of these specifics, these specific mayor powers. How do you feel about the mayor being able to draft the town's budget without any involvement of council?
Well, I'm not sure it would be exactly as that. I think the mayor could propose the municipal budget, but it would be subject to council amendments. It kind of puts us behind the way it used to work. with council coordinators that you would focus on a specific aspect of the budget, and you would have it pre-meetings with staff. And then somewhere along the line, the budget was moved into a public realm discussion so that it wasn't behind closed doors. And one of the benefits of doing that process is that you designated, you know, a member of council or two to look at the details. To leave it all perhaps to the head of council, it may be, you know, possibly part of leadership style and also their areas of interest, because we as elected people are generalists. We're not experts. And we are representative of the citizens who have elected us. So I'm hoping I'm answering your question, but I can't say every mayor that I've served under has their own leadership style, their own comfort levels, and it's almost a system check, a double check, that you have to involve all of council, and that's how our governance system is involved, or now currently operating as.
I agree with you. I mean, I used the word draft. You said proposed. We're talking about the same thing. The mayor's going to put the budget together. Obviously, council's going to have something to say. He can't just approve it. Council's going to have to wade in, and obviously it's going to be debated. But I just wondered about that preparation part of the budget. You've described what has happened in the past. Were you involved then prior to anything coming before council as a whole to discuss what kinds of things would be being done prior to the entirety of council then hashing over that version of the budget? I guess that's the distinction I'm trying to understand here.
So I would say that when council has advisory committees that are engaged, that are representative of the community, you will hear about issues, you know, in good time. And then with staffing input, they'll have they're the subject matter experts. They would be able to help position it, a concern or a request. So there was a very active way of determining, identifying, and prioritizing community priorities, needs, et cetera. And it could vary across the municipality. So there was good discussion, and council would receive the minutes of these advisory committee meetings. So we had a heads up at what was coming down the line. I admit to being somewhat confused by our most recent budget cycle, because as much as it's very boring to look at a line by line description comparing the previous budget, what's been spent, what has to be carried over because the project wasn't able to be carried out in the time of the budget cycle, expected budget cycle. So there's a lot of factors here. I think what is coming before us is that we're going to have to look at our governance model again. We're going to have perhaps what has been called community councils, which are citizens from distinct areas in town, neighborhoods, also citizens at large, to help inform council. We rely on that. And the way it's set up now, it's all sort of pushed to a few meetings where not all of council is there. So it's a lot more work, Rob. And there's perhaps more tendency to miss something, or it comes up late, or I think it's a bit potentially more expensive.
So we were talking about budgets through all of that. Yeah. You've raised an interesting aspect and sort of conflated two things there. And one of the things I wanted to talk to you about, and since we're talking about it, let's discuss it. And that is that under the strong powers, mayors can create or dissolve committees of council, including appointing the chairs and the vice chairs. So I'm wondering, with that kind of power given to the mayor, how do you see this playing out under the town's current system?
What will happen is what's happening now on a particular subject, and the citizens, if they feel that something needs to be done, will coalesce And my experience is that citizens will work well together, will listen to each other, and aim to get the attention of council. With the strong mayor's process, it remains to be seen how effective citizens themselves can be if there is that type of veto power. I don't know if that addresses your question. It's going to be more reactive than it's less leadership, in my view, and more reactive to an idea that is planted.
But I mean, in your experience, if there were strong mayor powers, do you think a task force would have been created if he was the only person? I'm just using it as an example. Yeah. He can decide, I want a task force, I don't want a task force. I want a committee, I don't want a committee. Here's who's going to chair it. Here are the people that are going to sit on it. I'm just wondering, if we were to play that scenario, do you think that would still be as easy to get done or as hard to get done? I don't know. I'm asking you.
Well, based on what has happened, you know, to date, I would say that it, if it was left to someone with strong mayor powers, it probably would have been defeated. And then there would have to be a citizen gathering. It's activism, basically. And this is the concern with that is that time marches on. We have a 4-year term of council. We're in the middle of that. We're into our second half. I don't know, because a strong mayor, I mean, they can listen. It's hard to know, but what would have happened. But at this point, I don't know moving forward, because it's the 1st of May, right? So anything could happen.
I'd like to move on. What impact do you think the ability of a strong mayor to appoint or dismiss town managers like the CAO or directors or others will mean to the town?
Potentially absolutely dangerous.
In what way?
Because we already have concerns for retention and attraction. And I, at this point, have not been involved in any conversations, discussions. You know, with colleagues and with administration on, I mean, a staff member shouldn't feel that one person, like an elected person, could have that much impact. It's hard. I don't know. Do you have examples? I mean, I'm asking you a question. What I like to do, what I think part of my job is to keep an eye out on comparables. How is it working elsewhere? How is it not working elsewhere? So that we don't repeat the same mistakes.
One of the biggest powers the mayor will have is the ability to veto council decisions that do not line up with the priorities defined by the provincial government. Now, this can be overridden by a 2/3 majority vote by council. What is your reaction to this new power?
Well, I would like to keep things fairly simple and intuitive. Because I'll just provide a bit of background to this, that we represent the people. So we should be able to have a very good communication system with the people we represent. So simple majority, perhaps. Here's a question that's been going through my mind. Municipalities are children of the province. That's how we've been described. And one of the opportunities, or one of the things that we've been able to do over time, is to decide what's important to our community and create respective bylaws and take action in that direction, because there are different demands on different communities and different challenges faced. And to appear to put provincial priority before local priorities seems a bit backwards. So I, at this point, I'm not sure how the legislation may have changed, or whether it's a talking point that may have subtly overlooked that basic aspect of a municipal jurisdiction, that we have the power to put the municipality first, respectful of provincial legislation.
The provincial priorities have been clearly identified by the Ontario government. And they are, one of them for sure, is the construction of the 1.5 million homes by the end of 2031. and the creation and maintenance of infrastructure supporting that housing. So this includes things like transit, roads, utilities, services, etc. What's the big deal? Why can't we just, let's just make this happen and let the mayor push ahead?
I am so glad you asked that question, Rob. I was hoping you would ask that question. So in context, I don't think anyone would be opposed to healthy communities, balanced communities, making sure that people have a home, access to housing and services. But a couple of years ago, February 2023, was published a report by, I believe it was prepared by planner Kevin Eby for Alliance for a Livable Ontario. And it was the report can be found on the Environmental Defense website. And what they did was look at the already approved areas for residential development housing in the Greater Golden Horseshoe. And this includes two rings, one which includes Toronto, and then what they call an outer ring, which includes municipalities like the County of Northumberland and Cobourg. So they determined back in February 2023 that there was already on the books, approved, just need someone to build it, more than 2 million housing units on the books, where, and this is up to 2031. For the same time period, the province was advocating for 1.5 million. To say, if someone had taken a closer look, and someone obviously has, what what the province claims we need is already on the books, even more so.
I appreciate this line of argument, and I appreciate you drawing our attention to it. But what I'm really asking you here is that, you know, we can debate, some people might agree with you, some people might not. However that would go, that's a different discussion. I'm wondering, though, about the mayor being able to turn around to council, and council turns down a development or asks for changes to a development, or, you know, somewhere along the planning process, maybe you want to skip an environmental assessment. I don't know. But given all the options that council goes through to approve housing, the mayor can now have the power to turn around. And if council votes down that particular development or this particular house being built, he can say it goes ahead because it's a provincial priority. And that's what I'm asking you to address at this time.
Well, I think that the mayor would have to prove it, like show the points. I understand what you're saying is the strong mayor power has the, through the strong mayor powers, they would have the authority to say this. But we have, I mean, back before I was elected the first time, because this is my third term, I was a member of the Planning Advisory Committee. And the area that's being built now up in the Northeast sector, I remember when that was just started, like in the planning process. I mean, I've been around long enough that I've gone from conceptual beginnings to that Northeast sector, which is set to double the population in Cobourg. So one would hope that to override for the immediate, like, I mean, you raise a really good point, because we have heritage districts, and it's, and heritage districts are not to stop development, not to stop change, not to stop intensification, but that it's the scale, the scope, the design. And interrupt me if I'm, you know, straying off topic here, but we have really good planning documents. And for someone with strong mayor powers to suggest, well, this has to be done here. Eventually, I think how it's going to catch up to us is that if people realize that things are getting done contrary to what the regulations or what the rules are for everybody else, there's a point where, you know, the worst case scenario is you won't be able to get insurance anymore.
Let's take an example. We have the old Brookside property, and there's Strathmore House sitting there. Mm-hmm. I mean, with strong mayor powers, he could just go, I mean, not saying he would, but he could say, knock it down. We need the affordable housing. The developer comes along and says, I need that space to create affordable housing units.
But then there's no evidence or proof that that's what they were going to do.
I mean, it's a theoretical. I'm just saying that he now has the power to do that.
Well, that would be quite a loss for a community like Cobourg that attracts people because of how, you know, citizens and elected officials, and you know, careful planning has you know, we're the result of decades and decades of decision making. And you know, it's it is, I guess what I'm saying is, it's theoretically possible for that to happen, but you know, like, who gains with that, really? I mean, like, Brookside's a really good example. It was offered to the town and to the county for, well, the value's over $9 million. That's not what it sold for. So it's a bit of a conundrum. Like, how do we adapt? How do we respond to the changes in the rules?
Well, the same holds true for environmental concerns, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it does. Now, you know, I haven't looked into this, Rob, but is there a recall mechanism if the mayor or someone with strong mayor powers makes too many decisions that the community becomes in disagreement with? Like, I don't know.
I understand it's a provincial decision that they have these powers.
Well, what I'm saying is that if the community decides that the decisions that are being made by a strong mayor or mayor and council, because I think council has an obligation too, to step in and defend the public interest. So that is a discussion that should be done in public, but perhaps it may result with the application of the new legislation for strong mayor powers. I'm just thinking out loud here, but it could result in other pieces of legislation, such as recall.
There are other municipalities, French River, Essex County, have refused the strong mayor powers. Yes or no? Should Kelberg do the same?
Well, I'm trying to respond to your question, is that I can't tell you whether Kelberg should or not, because what my experience is that the mayor leads, and then there's also the councillor. So we've been elected to do a job. And whoever has the authority will decide to go a route. And it's council's job to make sure that we maintain proper governance model. So we might get very surprised with strong mayor powers here. And it may not be, you know, the worst that we expect. It may actually be something different and something that is progressive. So to have to say a simple yes or no, I think that our current leader of council is a very intelligent person, can read the room. And I'm hoping that as we go forward, we won't spend too much time making lots of mistakes. And we're halfway through this term. We should seize the best of whatever is put in before us. So it may come to it, you know, in 6 months, Rob, that it's like, whoa, this is just not working for us. Then I think council has a responsibility to respond.
Well, the mayor has released a statement the day after the announcement, and that said, and I'm quoting here, "I am honored to be given the trust by the province in these extra legislative powers. However, I know they are meant to be used judiciously, and I will consider enacting them only in circumstances that warrant it," end of quote. Some might say this sounds reasonable. Should Kelberg residents be worried?
I don't know if it would be, if worried would be the right word. I think that they need to keep an eye on things. So as I'd explained previously, I'm hopeful, I'm optimistic, but I've been in local government as an elected person and involved as a citizen in the community, advocating activism, involved in various organizations, service to our community. And I don't think that any citizen really should, you know, sit back and say, oh, this is what's going to happen. I think we have to keep fully engaged and be prepared to make some tough decisions.
So in terms of what's next, then you're going to be waiting for the next meeting to see what's going to unfold. Is there going to be any sort of training at all for counselors and staff around this?
I don't know at this point, but I will be quite blunt with you, Rob. We need to review the entire governance model, given that this new legislation. As you know, we have three standing committees and a regular council, and the mayor is a member of each standing committee. And I've never been a fan of this governance model, and I think now, more than ever, we seriously need to revisit it. We have to go back, perhaps, we may have two standing committees with all of council. So the way that the governance structure is set up right now not only gives the mayor more power, but it will be much more so with new strong mayor powers.
Mary Mouton, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
Oh, you're welcome, Rob.
That was Cobourg Councillor Miriam Mouton. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.